Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are looking at a sermon that was given by Dieter F. Uchtdorf, second counselor in the first presidency of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, a talk he gave in General Conference, April 2015, called The Gift of Grace. We've been going through this talk quite carefully, wanting to make sure that you as our listeners understand clearly what Dieter F. Uchtdorf is saying. The reason I say that is because I'm sure that there are a lot of people, those that are outside of the Mormon Church, maybe even many of those that are within the Mormon Church, that could easily misunderstand what Dieter F. Uchtdorf was saying in this important message to give the impression that perhaps the Mormon Church is moving away from its doctrine of grace and being more in compliance with a New Testament understanding of the doctrine of grace. In his message, he talks about Simon the Pharisee under the section, Who Can Qualify?
And he said, in the Bible, we read of Christ's visit to the home of Simon the Pharisee. Outwardly, Simon seemed to be a good and upright man. He regularly checked off his to-do list of religious obligations. He kept the law, paid his tithing, observed the Sabbath, prayed daily, and went to the synagogue.
Now, when I read that, I thought, wait a minute, this sounds like Mormonism, because if anybody has a list of boxes that they need to check off, certainly the Mormon people do. In fact, the Mormon Church gives them this list to check off. One of those examples would be found in the manual, Gospel Principles.
And that's from 2009. This is on page 278, chapter 47. It says, to be exalted, we first must place our faith in Jesus Christ and then endure in that faith to the end of our lives. Our faith in Him must be such that we repent of our sins and obey His commandments. He commands us all to receive certain ordinances. Number one, we must be baptized. Two, we must receive the laying on of hands to be confirmed a member of the Church of Jesus Christ and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Three, brethren must receive the Melchizedek priesthood and magnify their callings in the priesthood. Four, we must receive the temple endowment. Five, we must be married for eternity, either in this life or in the next. In addition to receiving the required ordinances, the Lord commands all of us too. And then it has a list of 10 things, including love God and our neighbors, keep the commandments, repent of our wrongdoings, attend our church meetings as regularly as possible, have family and individual prayers every day, teach the gospel to others by word and example, study the scriptures. I haven't read them all.
On and on and on. And there are whole books that have been written on all the things that a Mormon should do if they hope to achieve celestial exaltation. Uchtdorf goes on in his talk to ask the question, are we like Simon? Are we confident and comfortable in our deeds, trusting in our righteousness? Are we perhaps a little impatient with those who are not living up to our standards? Are we on autopilot, going through the motions, attending our meetings, yawning through gospel doctrine class, and perhaps checking our cell phones during sacrament service? So I guess it's not just evangelicals that have problems with people looking at their cell phones during a church service.
Unless they're reading their Bible, of course.
That could very well be. Let's go back to the question that he asked. Are we like Simon? Are we confident and comfortable in our good deeds, trusting in our own righteousness? Would you say, Eric, that most of the Mormons that you talk to are probably not at all comfortable with their good deeds? They may be more comfortable with their deeds than they think we have good deeds.
Right.
But are they really comfortable with their own good deeds?
They know they all fall short. We ask them, are you doing it? And they come up with the same reasons why they're not doing it. They're trying their best, it seems to be the number one response to that question. And as we've talked about many times before on the show, trying is not doing what you're supposed to do.
While there certainly are Mormons who probably think they've done everything that they could possibly do and they are on their way to celestial exaltation, I would say in answer to that question, based on my experience in talking with many Latter-day Saints, that no, they are not comfortable. They are not confident in their good deeds. In other words, they probably know themselves better than anybody else, and they know they're not meeting all the requirements.
But they seem to always have this idea that someday they might be able to attain this, maybe when they get older and don't have the same urges they have as a younger person, but it just doesn't happen. You're never going to be able to attain everything that this religion says you must.
Either that, or like the sister missionary that was at my door, she felt that because Heavenly Father loved her so much that he was going to somehow overlook all of her shortcomings, because she was in fact sincere. And that's when I brought up Doctrine and Covenants section 1 verse 31, where it says in the DNC that God will not look upon sin with the least degree of allowance.
That's a killer.
It is a killer. So I would say probably most Mormons are not confident, nor are they comfortable in their good deeds. They probably always think that they could do better. And if that be the case, then are they really living up to their end of the bargain when it comes to the covenants they make each and every week?
Don't get us wrong. I think you and I both respect the Latter-day Saint for doing their best, for trying as hard as they can.
Absolutely.
But it's just not what the Bible teaches is what we do in order to attain salvation. To be able to receive salvation is not based on our own works.
Then we get to the portion of Uchtdorf's talk that I thought was probably the most confusing statement in the entire talk. Now, you and I disagree as to which was the most confusing, but this was my vote. He said, salvation cannot be bought with the currency of obedience. It is purchased by the blood of the Son of God. Thinking that we can trade our good works for salvation is like buying a plane ticket and then supposing we own the airline. Or thinking that after paying our rent for our home, we now hold title to the entire planet Earth. Putting the last couple sentences aside, let's look at the first. Salvation cannot be bought with the currency of obedience. But yet, how many times are Mormons told that it is obedience that gets them this desired reward?
Well, there's a LDS tract out there that's titled What the Mormons Think of Christ, page 31, and you think that Bruce McConkie had a lot to do with this. Well, this is what it says. Christians speak often of the blood of Christ and to cleansing power. Much that is believed and taught on this subject, however, is such utter nonsense and so palpably false that to believe it is to lose one's salvation. Many go so far, for instance, as to pretend at least to believe that if we confess Christ with our lips and avow that we accept him as our personal Savior, we are thereby saved. His blood, without any other act than mere belief, they say, makes us clean.
Yes, because we do believe that we are justified by our faith. Now, we're not saying that we don't believe in sanctification. That is where our works come into play. But our works do not affect the justification that we have already received by Christ by putting our trust in his works. And I think this is where a lot of people miss it. Now, you mentioned that tract probably being attributed to Bruce McConkie, even though his name isn't on there. This is what McConkie said in his Doctrinal New Testament Commentary, Volume 3, page 124. To the saints, his everlasting counsel is, obey, obey, obey. Keep the commandments, earn the attributes of godliness, and then only, cometh salvation.
I wish he would be a little more straightforward on this issue.
I wish Dieter F. Uchtdorf would have been a little bit more straight on this issue, because when he says salvation cannot be bought with the currency of obedience, he is certainly implying to many who may not be totally aware of what Mormonism teaches on this, that somehow obedience is ranking much lower in the list than most people might think, when certainly obedience is absolutely essential. We have Mark E. Peterson, who gave a conference message titled, We Believe in Being Honest. This was back in 1982, where he said, half obedience will be rejected as readily as full violation, and maybe quicker, for half rejection and half acceptance is but a sham, an admission of a lack of character, a lack of love for him. It is actually an effort to live both sides of the line. I think Mormons certainly understood what Mark E. Peterson was saying there, but I have to wonder how many Mormons truly understood what Uchtdorf was saying. Can you imagine being a new convert to this church, listening to what Dieter F. Uchtdorf had to say in this conference message, Do you think a new convert would have understood all those many nuances that are involved when it comes to the idea of grace than what he's just trying to give us here?
And I would say if that person has any kind of a Christian background, as many converts to the LDS Church are, I would say he'd be completely confused because he'd be thinking about some of the things he learned in Sunday school as a child and then hearing this, it does sound very orthodox, but it really is not when you look at the overall picture of the Mormon leadership.
Well, then he goes back to this idea of doing good works out of a love for the Savior when he says, therefore, our obedience to God's commandments come as a natural outgrowth of our endless love and gratitude for the goodness of God. Let me ask you this, Eric. Would that really matter what your attitude is?
Well,
isn't it more important that you're doing it? Whether you really have a good attitude about it or not seems a little bit secondary. The fact is, obedience is absolutely necessary. You must obey God's commandments if you hope to be exalted.
Well, someone who is famous about this issue of the issue of forgiveness, Spencer W. Kimball, wrote The Miracle of Forgiveness. We quote it many times on the show. And on page 163, he disagrees with what Mr. Uchtdorf seems to imply. Kimball writes, desire is not sufficient. In other words, it is not real repentance until one has abandoned the error of his way and started on a new path. Someone has said that there is only one way to quit a bad habit, and that is to stop. The saving power does not extend to him who merely wants to change his life. True repentance prods one to action.
I think you're right. I think it does go against what Uchtdorf was implying in this speech because he says grace is a gift of God and our desire to be obedient to each of God's commandments is the reaching out of our mortal hand. It's much more than desire. In fact, when he says, dear brothers and sisters, this is Uchtdorf talking, living the gospel faithfully is not a burden.
No.
That's not the impression I get from a lot of Latter-day Saints. It certainly is a burden.
And in fact, some of what he says in this section, why then obey, seems to come right out of our book, Bill, because he quotes from Romans chapter 6, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And Paul says, God forbid. And then Uchtdorf says, brothers and sisters, we obey the commandments of God out of love for him. We would say that's why we do sanctifying acts. We do those things because of who we have become. He seems to be saying the same thing, but in Mormonism, obedience gets you to the party. It's not something you do after the fact of having received justification by faith alone.
And I think that's what Dieter F. Uchtdorf misses in citing Paul from Romans 6, is Paul's talking about sanctification. He's not talking about justification.
Mm-hmm.
And in Mormonism, it's your good works that work towards justifying you.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Would you like to know more about the Mormon religion while learning how to share your Christian faith? Well, on Saturday, April 25th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson will be delivering their Compassionate Boldness Symposium, Part 2, in Payson, Utah. This free PowerPoint presentation includes teaching about the role of Mormon prophets, the Book of Abraham, the LDS Doctrine of Eternal Progression, and what Mormon leaders have taught regarding exaltation and godhood. While it is part two, you don't need to have attended the first part. Now, in addition, Bill will also speak on the new Mormon temple on Friday, April 24th at 7 p.m. If you'd like directions or more information to Payson Bible Church, simply go to mrm.org. Once again, that's mrm.org. And then click on the link that says calendar, located right there at the upper left-hand side of the homepage. As always, we truly hope to see you there.